I'm picking up on the verse that we are doing, and we have a verse that we're mentioning. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Again, the phrase is very significant, the God of Jacob. And I hope when we're done studying, and this is not an exhaustive study of Jacob's life, if you want to study it on your own, please do. Please go back and read the verses or the chapters about Jacob. There's a lot in there. There's a lot in there. And this is not, we're not going through the life of Jacob. If we were going to do it, I'd make it a sermon series and we'd be on it a long time. But I just want to look at the God of Jacob. And in order to do that, we do have to look at Jacob, and then we can understand God better. Let's have a word of prayer as we start. Father, you are the God of Jacob, and I am so glad you are. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize what that title means, being the God of Jacob. And Lord, how it applies to us. And Lord, how, again, as we come to Psalm 146:5, we can have hope in God because you're the God of Jacob. Help us now. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jacob, go with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 25, please. Genesis chapter 25. Again, one of the things that is a little difficult in the book of Genesis is that not everything that is written in Genesis is in chronological order. Okay? Just so you understand that. When you start getting into the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then into Joseph, not everything is in chronological order. Now, this is what I mean. You can read through Genesis, and you will come to the death of Abraham. Okay? It's found there in verse 7. Genesis 25, 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175. What's that make him? 175. And notice what it says. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years. It was gathered to his people. Now watch this. As you've read up until Genesis 25, verses 7 and 8, Jacob's not been born yet. Okay? When you go over here, okay, you can see in verse 19, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham got Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated by him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be born unto thee. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when he bore them. Notice verses 7 and 8, Abraham dies. Over in the verses that I just read, 19, all the way to verse 26, you find Jacob being born. Jacob was born while Abraham was still alive. Okay? So when you read through the book, and you read Abraham died here, and then over here we find Jacob being born, it's a little confusing. Now, we can do this. Okay, how old, quiz time, we just read it, did you get it? How old was Isaac when he had Esau and Jacob? 60. Okay, how old was Abraham when he had Isaac? 100, which makes Abraham 160 years old when Esau and Jacob were born. How old did we say Abraham was when he died? 175. So Esau and Jacob were around for 15 years of Abraham's last days. Little confusing if you don't put the numbers together. It almost sounds like Abraham died, then Esau and Jacob were born. But they were born, and again, Abraham was able to see these boys and enjoy them for 15 years, okay? So that we understand, when you read the Bible, sometimes I tell people, slow down, do some work, and you'll find out that it takes on a little bit different meaning than if you just rush through something. So again, they did know Abraham. Here's the thing again, I don't have an outline here. I just want to talk to you about Jacob and why I'm glad that the God of Jacob is our help and we can hope in him. What we just read about Jacob kind of sets the stage for a lot of his life. When he was born, he was a character. I mean, before he was born, they were struggling inside. Now, I'm just going to tell you who started the struggle. Okay, when we get to heaven, we're going to figure it out. Okay? But I believe it was Jacob. Now, my imagination runs wild. That's okay. But I imagine when they were in there, Jacob said, "You're closer to getting out of here than I am. And I don't like it." And I believe he tried to get that first position. He didn't get there. But what was he doing that lets you know that there was something going on in there? As the one came out, what? He was holding on to the other one, which is kind of like, get back in here. Okay? The guy was a character. Okay? Nicely put. And by the way, Jacob, a beautiful name. Okay? It refers to a man in the Bible that was definitely blessed by God. But when his name came out, what does Jacob mean? What have you been told Jacob means? Lovely one, beautiful one, pleasant one. What's it mean? Deceiver, supplanter. Okay? Somebody that wasn't satisfied with where he was. Number two. Okay? Number two. He didn't get out first. Okay? Esau came out first. And sure enough, he wanted to come out first. Right? Now, that kind of sets the stage for their relationship. Because if you stay in the same chapter and head down to verse 23, okay, you'll find out that he pretty much tricked his brother. I don't know if that's the word you want to use, but pressured his brother, pretty much used different ways to start taking things from his brother that he wanted. And you can see there in verses 29 to 34, I'm sorry, he basically got his brother to sell him the birthright. Okay? Now, there are two parts. There's the birthright and there's the blessing. Okay? There's the birthright. There's the blessing. I'm not going to go into all of them, okay? I want to keep going on this, okay? There's the birthright. But basically, his brother was really hungry and said, "Man, I am so hungry, I think I'm going to die. I'm going to faint." And Jacob said, "Well, man, I got some good soup here. You want it?" "Well, yeah." "Well, what do I get out of it?" "Well, what do you want?" "I want your birthright. I want your birthright." He gave it up. So I don't call it a stolen birthright. I call it the sale of a birthright. And Esau gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup. Anybody ever had a bowl of soup that good? You know, to give something like this up, again, prior in the family, and again, before the Aaronic priesthood, and they became the priests. Usually the oldest brother in the family served as the priest for the family. And here's Esau giving this up. "I don't want it." Okay? "I don't want this stuff, okay? You want to be the priest in the family, you want to do those things, you can have it." So again, kind of tricked his brother. I don't know the word you want to use, but made his brother give him the birthright just for that. Then you go to chapter 27. And chapter 27 is a long story. This is not a sale. This is absolutely a stolen blessing. This is a stolen blessing. Do you know the story? Again, Esau is told by his dad, Isaac, "Go out and shoot a deer. Prepare the venison just the way you want, and as soon as you've fed me that venison that I love, I will give you the blessing that's coming your way." And sure enough, Rebekah heard it and told Jacob, "Let's get to work here. We've got to do some things." And together, they planned a plot to deceive Isaac so that the blessing could go to Jacob. Twice in this chapter, okay, chapter 27, twice in the chapter, Isaac literally stopped and said, "Are you Esau?" And both times Jacob said what? "I am." I mean, flat out just lied to his dad. "I am." Because his dad said, "Well, you know, you sound like Jacob, but I feel you and I kind of smell you and the food that you prepared. That all seems like Esau. Are you Esau?" "Yes, I am." Okay? And sure enough, he was blessed. Thinking that he was Esau, Isaac blessed Jacob. And the blessing basically was, "You are going to be stronger and bigger, more famous than your brother. Your descendants will overpower your brother's descendants. They will be a much stronger, much more prosperous nation." And the blessing came, And with this birthright and blessing also came the promise of the Messiah coming through you. And he stole it. He stole it. Again, Esau comes in, and Esau prepares the food, and all of a sudden Isaac realizes something's wrong. He does bless Esau. It is a nice blessing. It is a strong blessing that Esau receives, but it does not matter. It does not mount up and can be compared to what was given to Jacob. So you can see here, here's a man that was fighting before birth, fighting during birth. Here's a man that shortly, as they were living then, eyed his brother, wanted the things that his brother had, and through kind of trickery, deceit, and lies, took them. And he took them from his brother. Well, then he's got to leave. We'll come back to that and talk about it later. But he's got to leave. And when you go into Genesis chapter 28, we have a story that we definitely call Jacob's Ladder, do we not? You can go there to verse 10. Genesis 28:10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Again, I'm not studying this whole thing, but he is headed back to some of Abraham's relatives would live up there, but also his mother's relatives live up there. So they're kind of going back to where family members are. Though they live down in the Holy Land by themselves, there are some family members to Abraham up there. There's family members to Rebekah back there. And he's headed back to the family members, okay? So he's on a pretty long trip, okay, heading up kind of to Mesopotamia. He's headed a long way up north. You know this. He takes some stones. Look at verse 11 of that place, and he makes a pillow out of them. Kind of tells you that he's not traveling with very much. He doesn't even have things to sleep with. Notice verse 12. He dreamed, and he saw a ladder. The bottom was on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven. The angels of God were going up and down on the ladder. Notice, the most important thing is, though, the Lord stood above the ladder in verse 13. Notice what God says. He said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Listen to this blessing. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places to which thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee, of. Again, now just follow me through. We're looking at Jacob, but let's start looking at the God of Jacob. Here is a man who has lied, cheated, deceived, tricked, done whatever else. And God says what? I'm going to bless you. I need that God. What about you? I need that God. How good are you? Are you going to sit here in your seat this morning and basically go this way? I'm a really good person. I've always treated my family members right. I've always treated everybody I'm around right. I mean, I am like a really good person. I can't say that. I can't say it. I tell people there is none good. What? No, not one. If there was a God who was only the God of perfect people, I'm in trouble. How about you? Because when we all start buckling down and thinking about ourselves, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. We've all gone out of the way. And yet this God of Jacob says what? I love you. We know the verses. Jacob, have I, what's the next word? Loved. You supplanter. You deceiver. And yet God still says what? I love you. I'm telling you, folks, I need that kind of God. I need a God of mercy. I need a God of grace because I can't measure up to what I'm supposed to do. I can't measure up to what I'm supposed to be. Again, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I don't know how we look at it. I don't know how other religions look at it. But they might say, well, you know, Christianity is a religion for losers. Christianity is a religion for people that can't make it. Christianity is for those who can't achieve. I'm going to agree with you. Because you just described me when I'm trying to attain to the glory of God, and I didn't make it. Now I need something, and I don't need a God over top of me saying, I put a standard that you needed to meet, you messed up, and I'm done with you. I need a God who says, I showed you what I wanted you to be. You fell far short, and I still love you anyway. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. I am so glad that he goes by the title, the God of Jacob. Because if all we could put in there was some person who was so holy and so good, and I don't know who that person is, by the way. Is it you? If he was only the God of those kind of people, I'm left out. I'm left out. Hebrews 11:16. Again, referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God. I don't know. Parents, do you do this? You ever watch your children and one of them did something and you look at the other one, you look at your spouse and you go, that's your child. Anybody ever done that? Taking after you right now. Okay? I think my wife does this more than I get to do that. Are you with me? Taking after you right now. All right? Which otherwise what we're almost saying, and we're not, we know the joke, but almost what we're saying is, I don't want to be associated with them right now. I'm not claiming ownership here. Okay, watch this. Jacob fights, steals, tricks, lies. And God said, I'm the God of Abraham. You look at it, it's right there in the Jacob's ladder. I am the God of Isaac. And you know what? I'm your God too. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. So here he is, a man who's not perfect, who has done things wrong, and he has a God that still loves him. Now, I'm going to put a disclaimer in here in case there's any young people or older people the same that think, oh, so we can go ahead and live our lives the way we want to live it and God still loves us and blesses us? Yes. Yes. Okay. That's true. So you mean I can just go out and sin and do whatever I want and God, well, there is something, and you might want to flip over to it if you will. Genesis 47:9. Genesis 47:9, this is getting late in the years of Jacob. He is talking to Pharaoh. His entire family has moved to Egypt because of the famine. These are following the stories of Joseph. Joseph's brought him down there. Okay. Notice Jacob's summary of his life. Genesis 47:9, you might want to underline this. Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. So he's 130 years old now. Notice how he characterizes his days. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Hello? You kind of did life your own way, Jacob. God still loved you, but he still is a God that disciplines. So if somebody says, you mean I can live my life the way I want and God will still love me? Yeah. But you know, if you live your life the way you want, outside of God's will, not listening to him, when you come to the end of it, and if it's 130 years like Jacob, and I don't think it will be that long, you might say, now that I look back on my years, they were pretty rough years. I wish I would have walked with God. I wish I would have walked with God. Okay? So again, notice what he also says. He also says in that same verse, I've not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. What's that mean? My grandfather and my father long outlived me. God really blessed them. Jacob died young compared to his ancestors. Why? Sin will take its toll. Sin will take its toll. I always tell somebody, I did a funeral one time. I remember seeing the lady around. I was associated with her, knew her a little bit. And, you know, you look at different people, and I don't know if you do what I do or whatever, but sometimes you look at people and you kind of gauge where they are in age compared to you, okay, older or whatever. And here's a lady that, again, as I looked at her or whatever, I would say that she could have been old enough to be my mother. I'd put her 20 years ahead of me or 20-something years. Pastor, really. Didn't have anybody do it, so I was called, hey, you know, she's going to get married in the graveyard there at Romola. Can you come do the funeral? Sure, I'll do it. I looked at the thing and I looked at her birth date and I was like, whoa. She was barely older than me. I mean, here's a person who died in their 40s, and I was kind of putting her up in her 70s, 60s, 70s, and she was kind of not even out of her 40s. And as we stood there, somebody just said, whoa, this lady is definitely the record that sin takes its toll on you. And I was like, yep. And so they were kind of looking at me like, you thinking what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, yep, the same thing. Sin takes its toll. But here's how we go. God said, I love you, Jacob. You're a character. You're something different. But I still love you. I need that kind of God. How about you? I do. I got to move on. Let's go on to the next thing. And again, I'm not just going to give you a lot of references. I just can't. But I want to look at something else. And the psalm that Jason read to us speaks to this point. Again, though the earth thunders and be moved and there's enemies and all kinds of bad things start coming against us, what? We have the God of Jacob as our refuge. You look at Jacob's life, okay? He had a bunch of people that wanted him dead. Do you know that? I mean, literally, when he stole that blessing from his brother, the reason why he headed up and stopped at Bethel to have Jacob's ladder and then headed on up to Haran to go to the relative's house, the reason why he was living is his parents considered it and said, if you stay around here, your brother will kill you. Okay? He will kill you. You need to get out of here. So, again, I don't know if it's early in his life, but in his life, before he's married, before he has a family, he has already made one enemy, of such an enemy that those who know believe we better get him out of here. Now, there was another reason why he headed up there, and that's because they wanted him to find a suitable wife, okay, that would be not of the Canaanites. They didn't want him to marry somebody from the Canaanites. They wanted him to marry somebody who would be a believer, who would know about God. And so they had him head that way also. But again, one of the main reason was Esau wanted to kill him. But God took care of him. And he headed on up there. Didn't have much. I know he didn't have a pillow because he used the stone as a pillow. I don't know about you, but even if I didn't have a pillow, I don't think I'd use a stone. What about you? Okay, I don't know. Okay, he must have been a tough guy. I don't know. All right, but again, he went up there. But then he goes up there, and again, he runs into family, Uncle Laban or whatever. And sure enough, their relationship doesn't go real well. Am I right about that? In fact, again, I'm just going to fast forward, and I can't do a whole lot of stuff. But again, as Jacob's up there, they make some deals. They settle on some wages as Jacob's going to work for him. And the blessing of God is already taking place in Jacob's life. So everything he starts to do, things start going real good. And Laban starts messing with him and changed. The Bible says he changed his wages 10 times. And he'd say, hey, I'm going to give you some cows. No, give them back. No, I never really gave you those cows. Those are my cows. Did we say that? I don't think we said that. I think we said this. Or those are my cows and those are my sheep and those are my goats. What do you mean they're yours? They're not yours. They're my. And again, he and Laban. And finally it got down to the point where Laban went out to do some work and he was going to be gone for a couple days. And Jacob said to his wives and his children and all those who worked for him, gather up, we're going to get out of here. Why? Because if I announce to Laban that I'm leaving, he might take my family from me, everything I have, and I think he even feared for his life. He made another enemy. Somebody said, I might kill you. You've taken a lot of my possessions. You've taken my daughters. You've taken a lot of stuff that belongs to me, and I don't like you. And I laugh about this because Laban ran him down as he was leaving to go back home. He ran him down and they stopped. And Laban was really upset. He said, well, somebody stole my idols. And Rachel stole them. They never did find them, but basically the agreement may have been whoever we find the idols with, I'm going to kill them. I mean, Laban was really upset. And he never did find them. Rachel had them. Okay? But the Mizpah stone. I know that sometimes you get teenagers or young people, you know, that they like the Mizpah stone. And I always laugh a little bit about the Mizpah stone. You know, because it's like, you know, this girl has a boyfriend, he's going to go away for a week, or somebody's going to go to college here, and they have a Mizpah stone. And, you know, and it's basically the Lord watch between thee and me while we be away from each other. Okay? And that all sounds really good, and that's part of the Mizpah stone. Okay, where basically Laban and Jacob sat down and they erected a stone and they just basically said, God bless you as we are apart from one another.
If you read what comes after the comma, though, because if you ever cross over this road, this to come up here, or if I ever cross over this stone to come down there, it will be war and we will kill each other. Okay? So I always tell people, oh, what's that? Oh, that's a Mizpah stone. My boyfriend has one, too. Good. Hope you never meet him. I hope you stay apart. Because literally, these two guys said,
God bless you while we're apart. Because if you come this way or I come this way, it's for war. And we'll kill each other. Okay? So Laban and Jacob got on the outs then. Again, they head on down to the land. Okay? And while they're down there, and there is a... And I guess there's a movie coming out now. Okay? I was talking to some young people at school about it the other day. But there's a movie coming out now called The Red Tent. Okay, and somebody said, well, it says in there, the Bible gives her one line, but now here's the rest of the story or something like that. It's Dinah that they're talking about. Did you know that the 12 sons of Jacob had a sister? Do you know this? If not, read your Bible. Okay, again, she's found in chapter 34. Okay, but she goes out because she wants to see what the Canaanite women live like. And sure enough, like in one day, she became like them. Okay, she became like them. Did stuff that they did. Sure enough, her brothers were upset at the person who took advantage of her. I am just going to paraphrase the story in about one sentence. Okay? When the story ends, Simeon and Levi killed an entire town of men. Killed them all. Okay? Now, if you want to study the 12 tribes of Israel, do you know that Simeon and Levi received no land in the blessings? The reason why they didn't receive land is because of their cruelty to killing all these men. They became the priests and the Levites, but they lived all through there, and they never inherited. There's no tribe of Levi that owns land. And Simeon lost their identification into the tribe of Judah. So there is no tribe of Judah, okay, of tribe of Simeon that has land. They lived with their brother Judah in his land, okay? They didn't have their own. And Levi lived with everybody else, so they received no land. And by the way, when Jacob was blessing his sons, he came to Reuben and said what? I can't give you the blessing. You slept with my wife. I can't give Levi and Simeon the blessing because what? You killed all his men. He gave it to Judah, and even that's like, God's a God of mercy, isn't he? But that's why Judah got it, because those two men were so evil. Now watch what happened. Once they killed all those men in that town, the other towns said, basically, we let these people live here, they're going to end up killing us too. And all of a sudden, Jacob said, you know what, guys? You put me in a bad spot because these nations, these towns, they're going to come and wipe us out because of what you just did. And he was right. But you know what? If you study it, God intervened and turned the mind of all those people that were thinking to come in and kill them. God turned their mind. Turned them. From there, they head on down to the land. And sure enough, as Jacob's getting ready to enter into the land, his old enemy, who's also his... down in the land, what's the one thing you're worried about? If I come back, Esau's going to kill me. And I love it because I was reading and I just love it. Hey, we went down and we found Esau. And he's coming to meet you with 400 of his men. What would you think? Your brother is coming with 400 men. They look pretty mean. The man knew he's in trouble. Okay? Knew he was in trouble. However, when they finally met, instead of battling it out, they hugged it out. They did. God changed Esau's mind. Now watch this. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a dangerous world. There are people that we don't know want our death, not for us. They want to swindle us. They want to do whatever they can to us. I need a God that can take care of me. Go back and read Psalm 46 sometime. Jason already read it. I mean, when this world falls apart, I mean, when everything is just disaster, whether natural disasters, whether man-made disasters, whether riots, famines, wars.
I need a God of Jacob that can do what? He can break chariots, mow down horses, and he can basically break the bow and the arrow. And I literally don't have to be afraid of anything. I need a God of Jacob, don't you? I don't know. I see a lot of Christians that are scared about this world. I'm here to tell you, don't worry about the world, the God of Jacob. then, again, if we go this way, a big famine enters in the land. It could be the death of the whole family. But what has God already done? Put a son down in Egypt so that as other people die from the famine, Jacob and his family have plenty to eat. We need the God of Jacob in this world. Oh, you go ahead. I don't know what happened last night, but somewhere along the line there was a riot in America last night, was there not? Didn't turn out too good last night. I just saw the headline real quick or whatever, but there was a pretty mean riot last night somewhere in America. I read that the United States tried to save an American the other day, last night. Did they try to rescue an American? What town? Was it in Yemen? I don't know if it was Yemen. Where was it? But they didn't get him, and he died. Again, so Americans are in trouble around the world. Again, not only did an American die, did somebody, a British or Australian guy, also die in that attack or whatever? We got within 100 feet of doing it, but we couldn't get them. And they shot them. We live in a mean world. We live in a terrible world. I need the God of Jacob because he knows how to take care of Jacob. He'll know how to do what? Take care of me. Let me finish up. Jacob had a lot of other problems in his life. I put down here, again, I don't know what life handles you is handling to you, but again, Jacob was a man who knew what it was to be hungry, and God took care of him, as I said, down in Egypt. Jacob was a man that knew what a physical handicap was. You know that he wrestled with an angel, right? And when he was done wrestling with the angel, and I think it was more than an angel. How many of you think it was more than an angel? I think it was Jesus, okay? And I believe that he was wrestling with Jesus, and when he was done from that wrestling match, he limped the rest of his life. And boy, I'm trying to put the numbers together, but that could have been 40 or 50 years that he had a physical handicap. He was a man with a physical handicap, but you know what? God took care of him. If I could put it this way, he was a man that had marriage problems. Now, I will say this straight up. You marry more than one wife at a time, you're in trouble.
What did Dr. Bob Jones Jr. say or whatever? He said, you can't take my wife away from me for $1 million, but I wouldn't take another one for a dime. Now that was pretty good. Okay? He didn't have just two wives. By the time it was done, he had how many? He had four wives. And again, you read the narrative that at one time Rachel and Leah kind of got into it about each other. They kind of went after each other. They were mad at each other because Leah thought that Rachel and all kinds of stuff. He had marriage problems. Okay. Not only did he have marriage problems, he also had what? Kid problems. How does family do? Good family? I already talked about Levi and Simeon, did I not? Kind of mean guys, okay? Those guys there. And by the way, when the 10 of them got together, they were really nice to the one brother, weren't they? Threw him in a pit and did what then? Sold him into slavery. Here's a man that had family problems, okay? I look at our lives, whether physical handicaps or whatever, marriage problems, again, whether children problems or whatever with our children, with different things, whether it's famine, trying to make the budget meet, trying to make everything measure up. Can I just tell you, we need the God of Jacob. That's who we need. He knows how to deal with problems, you know? It's almost like, do you want to come to a God and say, God, here are some problems in my life? And God echoes back and says, boy, I've never dealt with anything like this before.
I've never dealt with anything like this. Boy, I'll see what I can do for you. We go to God and say, God, my life's a mess. There's different things that are coming down on me. And, you know, some of it's my fault, some of it's not. But here's just the way life is treating me, and here's life coming. And God said, what? You've come to the right guy. I took care of Jacob. And you want to talk about a mess? I don't know how you count wealth. Maybe you're saying, oh, how many cattle did he have, and goats and sheep did he have? Well, I just know he had a bunch, and he got them from Laban, because God just blessed him. Even though Laban tried to take things from him, God just blessed Jacob and gave him a lot. And there are times when it says that he met up with angels, and he walked with him. Look at chapter 32, verse 1. He walked with angels. Okay? God gave him angels at times. And I'm sure that I need angels in my life from time to time, but he just took care of him. I didn't look up the exact number, but I do know that when they headed down to Egypt, Jacob's family was it 75? It was like 75 people, okay? 75 people. Now, I'm here. I'm looking at all of you here. How many of you have 75 descendants underneath? have a measure, you and your wife, and then your children, and then your children's husbands, okay, and wives or whatever, however it is, and then their children, and then if they get married and they have children, how big's your family? Folks, when they went down to Egypt, he had over 70 family members. Blessed is the man that has his what? Quiver full of them. Because somebody might say, forget about the money, forget about the wealth, forget about the big houses. You know what? When it all boils down to it, it's all about, somebody finish the word, family sometimes. I've heard people say that, or friends. The man was rich, had lots of money. I always tell people, it's kind of funny when you read the stories, because you know when they let Benjamin head down to Egypt, you know, Joseph said, bring Benjamin down. You know, Benjamin already had 10 sons at that time. He had 10 sons. I thought he was like a little 14-year-old that they were taking on down there or whatever. The guy had 10 sons, and I love his two sons. Does anybody know what they were? What their names were? Uz and Buzz. Uz and Buzz. That's pretty neat. But he had 10 children already. And then once they get married and start having children, you see why he had a large family. You know what? God bless this man. I got to wind it up. I am so glad that I have the God of Jacob for help. Because when you look now at Jacob's heritage, his name got changed from Jacob to what? Israel, which means prince with God. This guy who was a deceiver, he stole, he tricked people, and he became what? A prince. Look at this guy right here, folks. You don't know what Noah I've done through my life. And you know what? I'm in the king's family. That's why I went to God of Jacob. Because he knows how to take paupers and poor people and ornery people, and he knows how to make princes out of them. That's why I went to God of Jacob. He knows how to take people in terrible, terrible situations in their lives and do what? Bless them and take care of them. I do want to say this. Again, Genesis 48:15. And he blessed Joseph and said, go, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. The God which fed me all my life long unto this day. When he was blessing Joseph's children, that's basically how he sums up his life. Let me tell you, God fed me every step of the way. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, but I want a God that's going to be there for the rest of my days. Feed me and take care of me. Then I want him, after my days are done, to go with me through the valley of the shadow of death and take me into his heaven. And then I want him to be with me there forever. And that's the God of Jacob that can do that. That's the God of Jacob. So as we quote our verse, Psalm 146 and verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Does it make a little bit more sense? Because you know what? We're a whole lot like Jacob. That's the kind of God we need, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Father, I pray that you would help us from a perfect person like Jacob. Lord, I don't want Jacob to be mad at me when we get to heaven. I tried to tell the story, what's given in the Bible. But Lord, he was a deceiver, and yet you blessed him. Lord, when he was in terrible places, you took care of him. Lord, when he had terrible situations in his life, you worked through them. Lord, you helped him out. Lord, a great nation has been descended from him. You've kept your word, the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky. Lord, through his family, all the nations of the earth have been blessed. That's because Jesus is that blessing. And all who put their faith and trust in him are truly blessed. And Lord, we get to become princes with you. Lord, thank you that you love sinners like us enough to die for us, and then, Lord, you live with us. Thank you so much in Jesus' name.